time for Making Sausage. Today we continue our governor candidate conversations.
Continue our Making Sausage governor candidate interviews now. Republican Jeff Johnson grew up in the Detroit Lakes area of Minnesota. He is currently a Hennepin County Commissioner, and he has once again announced that he's going to be running for governor of Minnesota. Jeff Johnson joins us now. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me, Heidi.
You're welcome. So tell us about your background and experience and why now for Minnesota governor?
Sure. Background experience first. As you mentioned, I grew up in Detroit Lakes. My wife was born and raised in Crookston, and we went to school in Moorhead. So we are children of northwestern Minnesota. We've been in Plymouth now for 20 years or so. I have two boys that went through the public school system here. I served 6 years in the Minnesota House a while back and have been on the Hennepin County Board now the past 8 years, and have also had my own business for the last 16 or 17 years, providing HR services and some employment law services. And I'm running for governor really for a pretty simple and straightforward reason. It is to take power away from government and give it back to the people of Minnesota, to give people more control over what they earn, how they spend their money, how they live their lives. I think most people recognize that the mantra of government today is kind of the opposite of that. I see it every day on the county board. I certainly see it in state government. And that is that people in government believe that they know better how we should spend our money and live our lives. They know best what sort of health insurance we should have, how much credit card debt we should carry, what we should do with our own property, how farmers should farm their land, how we should raise our kids, and the list goes on and on and on. And that will change when I'm governor, because I don't believe that's government's business. And I think to put the people in control again is the only way to really return freedom and opportunity and prosperity to everybody in Minnesota.
Governor Mark Dayton had early childhood education as one of his kind of signature issues. What do you see your signature issue being as Minnesota governor?
Jobs, job creation, private sector job creation. We're really lagging there in Minnesota and have been for several years now. And I'm not just talking about creation of any jobs, because we've been doing a decent job in Minnesota of creating lower skill minimum wage or lower wage jobs, but that is not what most people are looking for. We have a 500,000 what are called underemployed people in Minnesota who are working, but they're working at a level below where they want to and are capable of. And that's because, at least in large swaths of the state, those career level jobs really don't exist. And so that will be every single day my top priority, is to try to create a climate where we are more competitive with other states, especially in the upper Midwest, for private sector creation of jobs. And you do that, I mean, there's a couple ways to do that. Number one is we got to get government out of the way as much as possible. We're still one of the highest tax states in the country. That does affect job creation. We have a reputation for over-regulating and kind of having an attitude in government, particularly in some of the agencies like the PCA or the DNR, Department of Commerce, where the thought is that the jobs of those people in the agencies are to find companies that are doing things wrong and punish them, as opposed to the job of those agencies is to get out there and help these businesses succeed. Because when they succeed, they can create more jobs and better paying jobs. So my ultimate goal and the top priority is to make Minnesota a state where every adult who's willing to work hard can find a satisfying, a good paying career level job in the private sector.
So what, you may have answered this already, but what do you think are some of the biggest challenges that our state faces today?
Well, I think the one that I mentioned is the biggest. When we look at our economy and when we look at job creation, we are just lagging in Minnesota right now. Our unemployment rate is higher than every one of our neighbors, considerably higher than a couple of them. We're heading in the wrong direction, or at least we're kind of sitting flat where the states around us are actually growing. Our GDP, which is really the best measure of your state's economy, actually shrunk the last quarter, which is just terrible news. And Dayton's own administration has said that wage growth and job creation growth in Minnesota is going to lag the national average for the coming years. At least that's their expectation, and that's not okay. So I think that is the biggest challenge that faces us. We need to reverse that. I will throw in another challenge, though, that's really important, and this is kind of a 20-year challenge, but that's the demographics of the state looking forward. Our state is aging, as are most states, and as people get older, they tend to need more services, so it gets more expensive. And also the demographics are changing in another way when you look at who is moving out of Minnesota versus who's moving in. We're losing population every year. We're unfortunately likely to lose a congressional seat in the next redistricting because of that. When you look at who's moving out versus who's moving in, those moving out tend to be more of the wealthy who are paying into the system, and those moving in tend to be more of those who are needing services and paying in less. And so when you look at that, along with the aging of the population, it means that our human services system and our healthcare system is going to hit a wall soon, because the costs are going to continue to increase, and they're going to start increasing at faster and faster rates, and those paying in are going to continue to disappear, at least some of those at the top level of paying in. And, you know, basic economics says that that becomes a huge problem for us. So we need to address that and look at our system, especially our welfare system, and say what makes sense going forward 10 and 20 years from now, knowing those demographic changes. We cannot continue the welfare system that we have in Minnesota right now. We are seen, rightfully so, as one of the most, if not the most, generous states in the country. And Minnesotans are generous, probably more so than most people around the country. We want everybody to succeed. We don't want anyone to be destitute. And I think all of us are more than willing to pay taxes in order to help those who truly need help. But we've gotten to a point where, you know, we've kind of become the state of last resort for people because we offer more. And what we need to do is make sure the programs that we're funding are actually working. We need to measure them and make sure that they're moving people who are able to self-sufficiency, because we have programs that don't do that. We don't value work enough in our welfare system, and that is a big change that needs to go forward in order to address that particular challenge, I think.
We are talking with Hennepin County Commissioner Jeff Johnson. He has announced his bid for governor of Minnesota in 2018. So what do you see the role of the governor being in terms of the Minnesota legislature? What would you like to see happen if you're governor?
That actually has been one of the issues that I've talked the most about so far in the campaign. I was a legislator for 6 years. It was a self-imposed term limit. 15 years ago now, I guess it was, that I went in. And I am really frustrated and sometimes disgusted with what I'm seeing in the legislature, with both the legislature and the governor the last few years in particular. It needs to change, and I will change that. It apparently has become acceptable to throw everything into these huge omnibus bills, sometimes called garbage bills, including things that wouldn't pass on their own. But if you stick them in a big spending bill, people who otherwise wouldn't vote for them might, because they're spending in it. Or maybe the governor wouldn't have signed that particular bill, but if you throw it in a bigger bill, he will. That's terrible policy. A governor can do something about that, and I will, by saying that I'm going to veto any bill that doesn't meet the constitutional requirement of the single subject clause, which now we're getting into some legalese there. But our Constitution says you can't have these big garbage bills. Every piece in a bill has to directly relate to the title of that bill. The courts haven't been enforcing that because they don't like to stick their nose into legislative business. But a governor can veto those, and I will, even if I like what's in them, because it's bad, very, very bad process. And then the other thing that has seemingly become acceptable the last few years, and both parties are guilty of this, is to have a handful of people, usually four or five, towards the end of session the last few days, disappear behind closed doors, make all the deals, come out, placed literally hundreds of pages of bills in front of bleary-eyed legislators who haven't had sleep in a week and make them vote on it, even though they don't know what's in them. And, of course, if legislators don't know what's in these huge bills, the public doesn't know what's in these huge bills. And you get bad law because things get slipped in and hidden in there. And you get constant government growth because no one has time to really look through the billions of dollars in spending, tens of billions of dollars in spending that we see every single session. So, and I will do the same with that particular issue. I will say that I'm going to veto any bill that hasn't had 72 hours, let's say, of posting for the public to see before the debate even begins in the House or Senate on it, so that you're not going to have these last second, middle of the night, sorry, we don't have time to read it bills that pass, because it's a terrible way to make policy. So, long answer to your short question, but the governor can play a very significant role in cleaning up that part of the system. I also think when you talk about the legislature and governor and agencies, term limits are important, both for legislators and for statewide elected officials, including the governor. And I think we could see some reform with respect to lobbying and with respect to campaign finance disclosures as well. That'll be an important area for me.
Jeff, you mentioned that you had self-imposed term limit on when you were in the legislature. Why did you do that?
You know, I believe in them. I think that I think public service is public service. It shouldn't be a way of life. It shouldn't become, your retirement policy. And so, to me, I think, 6 years, maybe 10 years is adequate. I think people should go in and do what they're able to do and then let someone else do it. So I did that in the House, and I've done that on the county board, too. I'm in my third term, and I've said that this will be my last term, regardless of what happens with the governor's race.
What do you think? So you said you grew up in the Detroit Lakes area, but sometimes, you know, when you live outside of the Twin Cities metro area, it feels like some of the biggest issues addressed, whether it's the governor or the legislature, may not affect us on a daily basis. So what do you think is of most concern to people who live outside the Twin Cities metro area?
Well, from my time in Greater Minnesota and from the fact that, the people I grew up with are all, not all, a lot of them are still there and I stay in great contact. I don't know that the issues are terribly different. I think most people are very concerned about their jobs, or maybe not their jobs, but whether their kids are going to find a job or whether their grandkids are going to find a meaningful job in Minnesota. They really want kids and grandkids to stay here rather than feeling like they have to move away because the jobs, the better jobs are elsewhere. I think there's a real concern in Greater Minnesota, just like in the Twin Cities, about health care. What we've been seeing with MnSure and Obamacare, and obviously that is a raging debate at the federal level, and we only have so much control over that particular issue. But almost everyone, particularly in Greater Minnesota, seems to recognize that the system that was put in place a few years ago through MnSure isn't working. There are many areas within Greater Minnesota where there is literally no choice on the MnSure system for health insurance. They have one provider, and that's it. And that was not the case 8, 10, 15 years ago. So that is a big concern, and it's one that we have to address. And I think it's important to Greater Minnesota, but it's important to everyone. And I hear about K-12 education a lot as well. And I think there's a real concern, especially in Greater Minnesota, about our spending formula with respect to that, because it clearly favors Minneapolis, St. Paul, and the Twin Cities in general over Greater Minnesota. And it does. And one of the reasons it does is because we've created a funding system not based upon what's best for kids, but the last 50 years based upon political deals every 2 years or so. They come to a standstill on funding K-12 education, and in order to get a few votes here and a few votes there, they add this new funding stream that only goes to certain kids or certain school districts, and those school districts have tended to be larger and metro-centered. My belief is that we don't eliminate all of those funding streams because there are certain things that require more money. But we should try to simplify it greatly and make it much more of a per student based funding formula so it evens out funding around the state. And I think that's really important to people in greater Minnesota too.
That is Republican Jeff Johnson. He's a Hennepin County Commissioner, former legislator. He is running for Minnesota Governor in 2018. You can find more information at johnsonforgovernor.org. And we want to know your feedback as well. Email comments at kaxe.org. Jeff, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you, Heidi.
Happy days are here again. The skies above are here again. Let us sing a song of cheer again. Happy days are here again. All together, shout it now. There's no...
About 25 minutes, almost 24 minutes before 8 o'clock. It is the Thursday morning show.